This is Oklahoma Perspective. Tulsa Public Schools is going through some new changes soon. KRMG's Russell Mills recently talked to Deborah Gist about those changes.
You guys are looking at a pretty major overhaul of how the central administration, or maybe we're going to decentralize the administration of the school district. Can you kind of explain what this reorganization plan does?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And it isn't district-wide, isn't the entire school district. It's some specific offices. I think there are five. So it's a starting place for us to make sure that our structure is one that is designed directly and specifically to serve schools. Now, I know that that sounds like sort of a no-brainer, and it is in a certain sense, but when you have positions and you have the way that work is divided up among employees and on a team, and you have different people who provide direct service to principals, or different people on a team who do customer service with teachers, for example, and that changes, or it is unclear about who people need to reach out to, or the work, instead of being divided among a group of people who then are all directly serving a certain specified set of schools, as opposed to an office that's structured in a way where I have this body of work and you have this body of work. So that probably sounded not very clear, but part of the challenge in talking about this is that we can't give specifics right now, and you acknowledged that, and I appreciate you understanding that. I wish I could give you, like, for example, and then I think it would be crystal clear, but the biggest takeaway is that we have done a ton of work in the district to improve the customer experience that our principals, our teachers, and our students and their families have with us, and we've made progress. But we know that with the limited resources we have, if we organized ourselves differently, we could do even more without it costing Tulsans more.
Okay, so according to a newspaper article, which I'm looking at here, it says 55 district office positions and 124 school support positions would be eliminated, but it would also create, it says 51 district offices, and I'm not sure that's correct, and 136 school support and 20 school embedded positions.
Yeah, both of those lists are all positions.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's position, not 51 offices, mm-hmm. 51 no. office positions,
mm-hmm.
which makes a whole lot more sense. So basically, and again, math, not my thing, but it looks like 179 going away and 190, about 210 being created. So we're actually creating more positions, but doing it in such a way where it's not costing more money. Does that make sense? Am I right?
Well, there is a component to this body of work where there is a cost, but the overall reorganization is not what the cost is. When we're able to give specifics, I'll be able to tell you exactly what the cost is.
Gotcha. So and the reason I think we're not talking about specifics right now is primarily because these are real people involved here, their jobs, their lives, their careers. Some of them may have already heard, you know, that maybe their position is going away, and here's something you can apply for down the road, or maybe they haven't. Where are we on the process? Because I think we should explain to people why we're not offering specific examples right now.
So when an organization like ours, we have very specific rules that we follow about based on the law that we follow in terms of notification. And this is the base. It's governed by law, but it's also governed by the contracts that we have with our employees and so forth. And each of the employees whose position is being eliminated has the ability to request a hearing. So it's sort of part of their due process rights to be able to have someone look at this, someone being the board, look at this to say, as an individual, was this elimination of my job an appropriate thing to do or not? And so when I'm speaking with the public about it, or if it is perceived to be something that would something in which the board might be swayed by the description or the rationale for it, then that could minimize that person's due process rights.
In other words, it's personnel matters, and it all has to be decided fairly and equitably without undue influence one way or another by something which you could say completely inadvertently. So the best policy is just not to address it.
Yeah, it's sort of like giving me a chance to give the rationale before the board has a chance to listen to all of that information in an organized fashion in a hearing process. And we, because we want to make sure that we're handling all of that well and giving our employees that right to that due process, we're being extraordinarily cautious about that. I think that, you know, again, there is one component of our reorganization that does have a cost associated with it. It is a cost that is related to services to schools, services to students, services to a body of work that is very specific and very much needed. And I think when we're able to begin describing that, then that will make all the sense in the world to people. But the overall reorganization in terms of the work that we're doing more broadly on customer service is basically cost neutral.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the timeline. When you'll be able to, because it is going to take some time to sort through all this. But what I thought I read was sometime maybe around May, sort of towards the end of the school will be out,
right.
and then you guys can start, I guess, providing a little more meat on the bones.
Right. And again, this is governed by sort of contracts and law about the number of days that people have and so forth. And
right.
So as a result of that, giving people adequate time to be able to request a hearing should they want one and so forth, then it would be toward the end of May. I think, you know, sort of pulling us back up, though, to what we're trying to do, one of the things that people around here and in our schools hear me say all of the time is that our district office and all of us in it, me and everybody else on this team, exist only in the service of schools. That is why we exist. We exist because it's our job to support the hugely important work that happens every day in our schools with a direct service to our students. So of course, that's teachers. Also, of course, is principals and others who provide those direct services to students, counselors and librarians and people like that. And so we are making sure that we're really, really changing the way that we handle customer experience. And just a quick example is that, you know, someone makes a call and they get the wrong person or the wrong office. And what our expectation is that it's our job to solve that problem for that person, regardless of whether they got the right person or not. So those are the kinds of things that we've been shifting in terms of how people on our team think about the way we serve our schools. But what we realized in all of this process is that there are structural parts of our organization that make it harder for our team in the district to serve the schools well, and harder for the folks who are getting that service to be able to access it efficiently and effectively.
And finally, this all, and let's make it clear at this point, it's a proposal. This is nothing's etched in stone, right? Because the board has to vote on it, has to approve the plan and all that. If that does happen late May-ish, then the changes would go into effect at the, end of July? Is that right?
It would be the end of June, so at the start of the fiscal year, which is July 1st. And so from a practical standpoint for folks, it would be in implementation mode for this new coming school year.
All righty. Well, we'll take that as the segue into, we're just wrapping up the school year of 2018-19. How did it go overall? Maybe talk a little bit about what the legislature has been up to as far as education. I know. I think they managed to push through that $1,200 raise in part of the 4-day school week bill, which was one of the reasons I had originally called you, was just kind of get comment on that. But then you guys don't really do a 4-day school week, or
correct? We do not.
But just kind of talk to me a little bit about your about the year. How did it go overall? Are you happy? Mm-hmm. Are things looking up? Or are they getting more complicated? Where are we at?
You know, we've had a strong year, and one of the things that I'm feeling enthusiastic about, although honestly it's far too soon to really begin to celebrate, but I do feel like we've seen some additional stability in folks staying on our team and remaining in our classrooms. It's too soon to celebrate, both because, you know, that those numbers might change, but also because what we have to remember is that we were in a full on, you know, crisis mode, you know, emergency room type of triage situation. And what I would say is that now we've been, you know, potentially if this holds up, maybe we've been moved to a regular room or out of ICU or something like that. I'm kind of losing this metaphor, but the point is that we are still in the hospital. And I think that's what we all have to remember, is that we have so far to go in our state. I'm grateful for the leadership. I'm grateful for the progress, but the districts we're competing against in Texas, their teachers get annual raises of $2,000 to $3,000. So, and that's on top of the, you know, more than $10,000 that they already pay folks above what ours make. And so I'm glad that we have a $1,200 raise, but it does not mean that we are addressing this situation in a meaningful way.
And let's not forget that there are a lot of people who work for the school district that aren't teachers.
Right. We have, you know, hundreds of bus drivers and custodians and, you know, all of these roles. You know, when people say, well, what do all those people do in the district office? I think they don't realize that those kinds of positions are a part of those numbers. But I think people also don't realize that we have, you know, people who are welders and locksmiths and, you know, painters and things like that, because when you have, you know, 100 large buildings, and it is more economical to have those folks, you know, as part of your team, as opposed to, you know, calling the local locksmith or something. You wouldn't have the capacity. They wouldn't have the capacity to help us with the volume of work. So this, I don't know why I chose those examples, but I just think sometimes people don't always realize the number of individuals it takes to support an organization that has, you know, 36,000 students and, you know, 2,500 teachers.
And as you mentioned, like 100 buildings to maintain and repair and improve.
Mm-hmm.
And
then, yeah, I mean, and other things too. I mean, we're the largest restaurant chain in Green Country. We serve tens of thousands of meals every day, tens of thousands of meals every day. And we are the, you know, the largest transportation organization. We're moving thousands and thousands of kids every day, multiple times a day. And there's just a lot that goes into what it takes to be able to have a system functioning. I think that, you know, going back to the state investment, you know, we talk a lot about the teacher raises, and we should be talking more about that, actually. But we also have to recognize that our state made more dramatic cuts on a per pupil basis to our schools than any other state in the country over that 10-year period. And we have not been restoring those dollars. And so we spend less per pupil than we did then. And that, you know, and then over time we've added students in the state. You know, so we have 50,000 more students in Oklahoma than we had before those cuts began to be made. And so that means things like class size and access to fine arts and technology and other kinds of supports that are needed in our schools to serve our students, and also to help our teachers and school leaders who have just this you know, these massive responsibilities and far too little time during the day to adequately plan for the instruction that they're delivering.
And, you know, you mentioned the technical aspects. I'd be willing to bet you have one of the largest IT teams in Creek Country as well, because, I mean, everything has to be hooked up these days, right? Everything has to run through a computer.
We do have an IT team, but I would tell you that's an example. That's actually one of the examples. It's one of the offices I use when people say, well, you know, that district office is, you know, there are too many people. There are not too many people. In fact, there are too few people to serve. And the IT office is one of the offices that I've used as an example before, because there are thousands and thousands of devices per person who's providing services to our schools. And so, you know, you can imagine what that means. And if you're a teacher and you're relying upon, a Chromebook or a computer or whatnot for instruction, and you're having problems, we need to be able to be extraordinarily responsive to that. And we would love to be much more responsive than we're able to be right now. Another office that is part of this reorganization that we was the only office that in the last reorganization, which was about cost savings and cutting positions, it was the only place where we added positions, and that was in special education. We've had for years been working, you know, since I got here, really, really intently on what we need to do to better serve students with special needs. So we did add some positions at that time, but that's another example of a place where we still have a lot of work that we need to do.
So we're already planning, I'm sure, well in the weeds for the next school year. Looking ahead, besides this reorganization, presuming that happens, what else, or is there anything else that's kind of a new initiative or anything new that we're planning for the upcoming school year?
Well, we certainly, I mean, we're busy with our work to get make sure our next school year is awesome. That's for sure. That includes hiring teachers. We're well in the throes of all of that work, and putting our goals in place at the school level and at the district level for the next school year and what our goals will be for performance. We have a number of exciting things that have been underway that will be more fully developed for this coming school year. And one of the ones that has gotten some attention this week or this past week was our work on high school redesign. And so the high school redesign plans were approved by the State Board of Education, and we got really, really positive feedback from the state board members saying that they really are seeing how Tulsa is taking a tool that the state made available 6 years ago through a bill that would, you know, gives us flexibility from some of the mandates that restrict us from being able to do things differently, and that we're the first district to be approved for that. And really positive feedback on that. We also have just really great work going on in our schools around improving attendance and instruction, of course, and then also integrating our students' social and emotional learning into what we do in our schools, and really thinking about how we are an entity that exists to serve the whole child, not just the academic lives of our children.
Tulsa Public Schools Superintendent Deborah Gist. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.